Well, what do you say? Have you ever jumped to conclusions? And when you came to understand all of the facts, you realized that you didn't truly have a correct understanding of the situation. As we continue our study in the Old Testament book of Joshua, we find that a war almost started because of this very thing. Our text today is Joshua chapter 22. It's a fairly lengthy passage, verses 9 to 34, but we're picking up where we left off 2 weeks ago. Last Sunday was World Communion Sunday, so we weren't in Joshua, but we're back at it, and I've entitled the message that jumping to conclusions can be disastrous. Now, as we take a closer look at this, we're going to see three dynamics at work. We're going to see a wrong interpretation. Then we're going to see a helpful clarification, and then we're going to find a wonderful reconciliation. Reconciliation, by the way, is at the heart of where the Lord would want us to be moving towards. So. But first of all, we see a wrong interpretation as we pick up in Joshua chapter 22 with verse 9, and for this portion, it'll take us through verse 20. So the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, half the tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, which they had obtained, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a great, impressive altar. Now the children of Israel heard someone say, "Behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh have built an altar on the frontier of the land of Cana in the region of the Jordan on the children of Israel's side." And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them. Now, have you ever, let's just stop there for a moment, have you ever thought about what it is that often triggers conflicts? What triggers conflicts between people or international conflicts or wars? There are undoubtedly a number of factors that play into that, but one thing at times is misunderstanding. Misunderstanding. According to History.com, in one of the most bizarre conflicts of the 20th century, a dog inadvertently triggered an international crisis. The incident was the culmination of a long period of hostility between Greece and Bulgaria, which had been at odds since the Second Balkan War in the 1910s. And tensions finally boiled over in October 1925, when a Greek soldier was shot after allegedly crossing the border into Bulgaria while chasing his runaway dog. Yeah, you think everything is going to the dogs, huh? The shooting became a rallying cry for the Greeks, who soon after invaded Bulgaria and occupied several villages. They were even set to shelling the city of Petra when the League of Nations finally intervened and condemned the attack, and an international committee later ended up negotiating a ceasefire between the two nations, but not before the misunderstanding resulted in the deaths of 50-some people. Well, the thing that triggered a call to war in our text this morning wasn't the actions of a stray dog, but it had to do with folks building an altar. Now you say, what's up with that? Why were the children of Israel up in arms about that? Was it a franchise violation? You know, like one of the restaurants in Boardman was, for a time, was not able to keep using the franchise name because of some violations. Weren't people allowed to build an altar, you know, within 200 kilometers or whatever of another altar or whatever? Hadn't they filed the proper paperwork? Didn't it have the approval of the Children of Israel Bishop Board? Well, let's continue reading to see what was actually behind this strong reaction. And we pick up now with verse 13 and on through verse 20. Then the children of Israel sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead. And with him 10 rulers, one ruler each from the chief house of every tribe of Israel, and each one was the head of the house of his father among the divisions of Israel. And then they came to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, to half the tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them, saying, "Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what treachery is this that you have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that you have built for yourselves an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor not enough for us, from which we are not cleansed till this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? But that you must turn away this day from following the Lord? And it shall be, if you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel. Nevertheless, if the land of your possession is unclean, then cross over to the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possessions among us. But do not rebel against the Lord, nor rebel against us, by building yourselves an altar besides the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man did not perish alone in his iniquity?" So, here we are again. Have we ever made assumptions, jumped to conclusions that brought us close to perhaps not an international crisis or a war, but nevertheless, perhaps we were ready to go after somebody when we heard about a particular situation, but we didn't really have all of the facts. Perhaps we didn't really have a true understanding of things. Perhaps we didn't know what the motives were behind the actions that these people were taking. I mean, it's an easy trap to fall into. And perhaps that's why Jesus said in John 7:24, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Or perhaps that's why Jesus said to his disciples that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. As we're going to see in a little bit, the children of Israel not only jumped to conclusions, but they were interpreting incorrectly what they had become aware of, what they were told, and what they were seeing taking place. So let's move on to the second dynamic at play, and we want to note now a helpful clarification. Verses 21 to 29. "Then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh answered and said to the heads of the divisions of Israel, 'The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knows, and let Israel itself know.'" "If it is in rebellion or in treachery against the Lord, do not save us this day. If we have built ourselves an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer on it burnt offerings or grain offerings, or if to offer peace offerings on it, let the Lord himself require an account. But in fact, we have done it for fear. We have done it for fear, for a reason, saying, in time to come your descendants may speak to our descendants, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between you and us, your children of Reuben and children of Gad. You have no part in the Lord. So your descendants would make our descendants cease fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build ourselves an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between you and us and our generations after us, that we may perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, with our peace offerings, that your descendants may not say to our descendants in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. Therefore we said that it will be, when they say this to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say, here is the replica of the altar of the Lord which our fathers made, though not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between you and us. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn from following the Lord this day to build an altar for burnt offerings, for grain offerings, or for sacrifices besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle. It does make a difference, does it not, when we listen to people share the rationale, or to share the motive, or to share why they did something in particular. When the children of Israel heard about an altar being built by the Jordan, they assumed it was because these folks had turned away from the Lord. They assumed it was an act of rebellion and would be used for self-seeking purposes. Why? Because at that point, the tabernacle was in existence. And it was at the tabernacle where there was to be this altar of sacrifice. Now, in talking with the folks, there was an explanation given that really shattered their assumptions. They had concluded something, and in talking or in listening, they came to realize that they had come to wrong conclusions. That great impressive altar, as the text put it, was not built to be a place where people offered sacrifices unto the Lord. According to verse 26, the first part of 27, therefore we said, let us now prepare to build ourselves an altar, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between you and us and our generations after us. The structure was actually built to be a reminder, a testimony of the people's heritage and their faith in the Lord, and their intention was to have it be a witness not just to those around them, but in the generations to come. It was sought to be a helpful reminder to their children and grandchildren of their faith connection, of who they actually were as a people. The children of Israel almost went to war. Why? Because they had jumped to conclusions regarding the entire matter. They made assumptions that ended up being incorrect. And you know, I have to, I'm talking to myself as well here this morning. How often do we do this very kind of thing? How quick are we to jump on somebody without having all the facts or without giving them opportunity to explain? And so here we are, this passage that I shared with the children a moment ago from James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I wonder, might there be a situation right now, perhaps that you're uptight about? You may have felt like wringing somebody's neck. But Have you prayed about it? And have you given that person an opportunity to share? Have you listened to them? Have you heard their perspective? The children of Israel sent out a delegation to check things out. And in doing so, they discovered that things weren't quite like they had thought. In fact, things were quite different from what they originally thought to be the case. So it really was a helpful clarification. Well, there was a wrong interpretation. There was a helpful clarification. The third thing we want to notice in this entire narrative is that there was also a wonderful reconciliation. Let's look now at verses 30 to 34. Now when Phinehas, the priest, and the rulers of the congregation, the heads of the divisions of Israel who were with him, heard the words of the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. Then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the rulers returned from the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, from the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought back word to them. So the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God. They spoke no more of going against them in battle to destroy the land where the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar witness, for it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. Well, many of you would be better equipped to tell folks about the rivalry between Michigan and Ohio, at least when it comes to football. But did you know that the two states nearly went to war over a border dispute? That's right. This also from history.com. The argument began in 1803 when the newly formed state of Ohio took ownership of a small strip of land containing the town of Toledo. Michigan disputed Ohio's claim on the Toledo Strip, and both sides wrestled for control. Both raised militia to defeat a possible invasion by the other. And President Andrew Jackson finally intervened in 1835, and in 1836 a compromise was reached. Wouldn't you agree that it's a wonderful thing when there can be an agreement reached? Yes. But wouldn't you say that that's especially true when things get worked out between people of faith? In our text this morning, we see things moving from a state of great uncertainty and upheaval to then a place of unity. From the possibility of war to the wonderful reality of worship. You know, this is witness. It's praise the Lord time. It's bless God. According to verse 33, so the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God and spoke no more of going against them in battle. This entire thing may beg one more question, though, as we ponder what we've just read. Is there someone that you need to go to, perhaps, to listen to or to work things out with? And here's why I'm asking that question. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, I implore. That's a pretty strong word. Wouldn't you please go and... No, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. The MSG, and its paraphrase, puts it like this. I urge Euodia and Syntyche to iron out their differences and make up. I don't know what all had taken place between these two women, but I guess we don't need to know. Apparently there was some kind of quarreling, some kind of differences. I wonder, had there been perhaps some kind of misunderstanding in all of this? You know, one has to wonder. If they were here this morning, it would be interesting to hear their testimony and their stories, wouldn't it, from both of them? Whatever the issues, whatever the situation, reconciliation was needed. And we're right back again to what I said a little bit earlier that is so near and dear to the heart of God. Before we jump to conclusions, we ought to clarify things. And yes, if at all possible, we ought to seek reconciliation that God may be glorified and that there might be a walking together between brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in you this morning and thank you that, Lord, we thank you this morning for the cross, that you made it possible for us to be reconciled to you and for us to experience reconciliation with one another through the work of Jesus. Lord, continue to be at work among us. Continue to help us in our journey of faith as individuals, as a local church, as a group of churches, that we might be on board with your agenda and your plan, that you might be worshipped, Lord, that we might not get sidetracked and distracted by these things which can so easily zap our strength and our energy. And Lord, if there is need for some kind of reconciliation, we pray for grace. We pray for your help and your anointing. May your hand continue to be upon us, and may you continue to receive the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.